The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the big show. And man, do we have a show put together for you today. Coming up at 1:30, we're going to take you down to Mariners spring training so you can hear an absolutely heartwarming story between a Mariners player and a young woman with Down syndrome. And it'll grab your heart as it has mine, I'm sure. At 12:30, a very different story to share with you. We're going to talk to a man. He was sitting at home with his family Monday night down in Renton when two armed men kicked in their front door and then kicked in the bedroom door where this man and his wife were, held the wife and their two boys at gunpoint, counting down from 10, threatening to blow their heads off. And you're going to hear from the husband, the father, of what went down in a nightmarish situation in Kent and why police think that this house was targeted. So we have all of that coming up for you. That's going to be at 12:30. Let's get right into the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So is Sound Transit going to blow out the dicks? Because that is a possibility, as you've just heard. Sound Transit has just announced that they have to build a big staging area in the South End. And the area where a lot of community members want it is the Midway landfill. Because, well, it's a landfill. But Sound Transit says, well, that would be so expensive. And as you know, we love to save the taxpayers money. Yeah, that's been a real primary concern of Sound Transit, the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America. So they're now saying, well, if we build it at the landfill, which nobody has any objections to, as you just heard in Ursula's newscast, their spokesman said, well, we'd have to cover this entire landfill with concrete, and it'll cost $1.3 billion dollars to build the staging area.
You're putting a large facility over a landfill, and to worry about settlement would cause us to put like a 3-foot concrete platform over the entirety of the structure.
And this is a place where they're going to store their trains.
Because our facility not only is buildings, but it's also an acres of track to store the trains on and everything too. So that's where a lot of the cost comes from, is just the construction and the stability purposes.
So one of the sites that they're talking about is just taking over through eminent domain is where the new Dick's Drive-In has been located in Kent, a strip mall. They're going to blow down all the buildings, including the Dick's, and force all those people out of work. They'll have to transfer. And, of course, you and I get to pay for that because they have to pay market value for property they take over via eminent domain. But you have a place that's already become rooted in the community, the Dick's Drive-In. And it's mind-boggling to me because I talked about this just yesterday in the Big Lead. Sound Transit wants to fundamentally destroy Lake Forest Park, build a huge parking garage. They want to tear down a mall that just gets tremendous usage, and then they want, they're in, and believe me, Sound Transit is so deep in the pockets of developers, and it's the richest people, the most connected people, who are using Sound Transit to funnel a big chunk of the $100 billion we're spending on this wasteful agency. A huge chunk of it is just going to make developers very wealthy. And I don't know if the politicians are getting kickbacks. I really don't know. I know that they're getting power kickbacks at the very least. They get control and power. Power is even more important than money to politicians. You get into politics, maybe there are some people who go into politics well-intentioned, but it is such a corrupting influence on everybody who gets in the game that, so like I said, I don't know if they get cash. I don't know if they just get increased power. But from their perspective, it's the same aphrodisiac. So Sound Transit wants to destroy the area where I live. Just destroy it. They want to go into Kent, maybe tear down this Dick's Drive-In, because they say, well, that'll only cost $800 million instead of $1.3 billion at the landfill.
Well, we have really three sites in Kent. There are two different configurations in Kent on the Midway landfill, and there's one site that would be around our new Federway light rail line and would encompass encompass a Dick's and a Lowe's site there in the Midway area.
They would tear down a Lowe's too? I didn't know that part of it. So, and again, you and I get to pay for that.
The Dick's is in the Lowe's parking area, kind of like it's kind of one spot.
Ah, I didn't know Lowe's was right there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine how much that's costing you and me? They just built it, and now Sound Transit's thinking about tearing it down, tearing the Lowe's down. All those people have to find other jobs, all the community members who love and by the way, first of all, you've got the greasiest criminals moving into your neighborhood when Sound Transit comes in, because they will, you know, they don't shoot people in the head. They just destroy neighborhoods. That's what Sound Transit does. And again, it's so developers who are connected to Sound Transit can get filthy rich. But you know, eventually this is on you and me. Well, that's on you if you voted for Sound Transit. I've been advocating against it. When you vote for a criminal agency, don't be surprised when they commit crimes. And that's what's happening here. So they say that they want to save us money. This is the agency that is tens of billions of dollars over budget. On their phase one, they are 12 years in counting behind schedule. And the criminal corruption of Sound Transit might now tear down a new beloved place down in Kent, the Dick's Drive-In. It is unbelievable the amount of power and how this entire agency was constructed to give developers money and politicians power, and you and I get to pay for all of it. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
And then down in Olympia, the madness just continues as the Senate Democrats, they passed a bill yesterday that even deepens Washington as a sanctuary state. It would prohibit all state agencies from providing any assistance to law enforcement agencies like ICE. That, you know, we are one of the top destinations in the country for illegals. That the sheer number of illegals is a huge contributor to your and my tax dollars, because a lot of them don't have the language skills to compete economically. So disproportionately, illegals become part of the subsidized housing and food stamps. We have to educate kids. It costs us a fortune as a state. It adds to our traffic jam because we are the number five state in the country for number of illegals. And now the Senate Democrats in Olympia say that they want to make us even more of a mothlight and make us the magnet destination. The goal is to make Washington the number one destination in the United States for illegals after they break into our country. And so this legislation yesterday says that state agencies would be prohibited to deal with ICE, to work with any federal agencies that are trying to corral people who have come into our country illegally. State Senator Doug Erickson said he can't even begin to believe this got discussed, much less pass out of the Senate.
I'm just shocked and amazed this legislative session by the number of bills we have seen to encourage people to come here illegally. It's amazing. It's actively looking for ways to have no borders in our country.
And State Senator Mike Patton says that we're just telling the illegals, Washington is for you.
This bill is a how to not cooperate with federal immigration authorities.
I find the Democrats in control in Olympia to be despicable. We've lost every moderate Democrat, apparently. And we have just gone to an open borders socialist state government. Your taxes are going to go up anywhere from hundreds to thousands of dollars a year based on the legislation that is passing out of Olympia. You get to pay the price. You get to work your butt off to send tax dollars to Olympia so that we can attract illegals to our state. Why? Well, we might get another congressional seat. We already have one extra because of the number of illegals. And people ask me, how can that be? Because when you do population counts, they have not asked the citizenship question. And so you get federal dollars and you get congressional apportionment based on the total number of people, citizens and illegals. And Washington has found it to be this isn't about human rights. It's not about taking care of people who are fleeing desperate situations. It's about money and power. Sound Transit's about money and power. Attracting illegals, money and power. And you and I get to pay. You and I get to work as hard as possible so that we can subsidize the insanity in this state. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
So then I find it almost incredible when I see the story. Seattle Times had a great in-depth piece on the massive massage parlor bust in Seattle. There were massage parlors all over the International District and down First Hill, Beacon Hill. And they described the situation. There were women living in squalor. Most of them came here from China. They come into the United States down in the Southern California area. And then they are flown around the country to massage parlors, where these women, as I said, live in squalor and service the male clientele. And I'm seeing all these quotes from local politicians who feel horrible for the women. They can't believe that all this is going on. Do you think maybe connecting the last story to this one, when you work feverishly to attract as many illegals as possible to this region, do you think maybe that when you have a business that is populated, that is run, that is staffed by illegals, that that's a little bit easier to do here in Seattle and in Washington State? And so you connect the dots. The policies of our state, of our Democrats, leads to these inhumane conditions for these women who are staffing these places. But that's just like the Democrats in Congress, in D.C. One out of three little girls and women who try to cross our border illegally get raped in making the trek. Now, if we had a wall, there would be no purpose to make that trek, because they know they're not going to get in illegally. It's going to be a lot harder anyway. But Democrats don't care that little girls and women are getting raped. And I know people always get furious when I say stuff like that. It's a fact. If an open border is, as I like to call it, the moth light, the attractant, and because of that, girls and women are getting raped. If your policy is, so let's open the borders even more. Let's tear down the walls that we already have. Let's encourage as many people as possible. Then your desire to get what you hope are future party voters, your desire for that is greater than your compassion for the little girls and women who are being brutalized coming out here. So it's an evil little pathway that we're on here. We're seeing it in our state. We're seeing it in our nation. And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news for you. And then we have an incredible story. A family sitting at home in Renton a couple of nights ago when armed, masked men kicked down the door. We're going to talk to the husband, the father. And it's an incredible experience that they had. You're going to hear the story next on the Dory Monson Show. I want you to imagine you're just sitting in your home having a normal evening when all of a sudden somebody kicks in your front door and four armed intruders start to rob you. One pistol whips you. I don't even know if we could begin to imagine what that's like, but we can hear what it's like because that happened in Renton on Monday night. And the guy in the home who's one of the victims is Steve. Steve, how do you pronounce your last name? Guggenmos?
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Steve Guggenmos joins us here on Cairo Radio. Steve, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Dory. I appreciate it.
Okay. So walk me through this from the beginning. So you're in the home with who on Monday night?
Yeah, so it's about 8:45 on Monday evening, and my stepsons are both in their respective bedrooms, teenagers, doing what they do, video gaming or whatever, homework. And Tracy, my wife, and I were in bed watching TV, and we hear two really, really large booms. We live in a two-story home. All the bedrooms are upstairs. So we heard this boom, and boom, again, and Tracy thought, what the heck is that? And we thought the boys were up to who knows what, something. Right. So she kind of spins up to get put her feet on the floor, and 7 seconds goes by, and our bedroom door absolutely explodes, and two masked perpetrators come at us, guns drawn, masks on, and they're screaming at us, where's the meth? Where's the cash? Where's the math? And they, I mean, this whole time, Dory, was about, we're kind of guessing, piecing it together 10 to 12 minutes or so, this whole ordeal.
Yeah.
Tracy gets out of her bed, and when they come crashing in, one guy exits the master. The other one is kind of rifling through the end suite that we have around the corner in the master. Tracy kind of is hiding in the master bathroom, and the guy says, where's the pee? As in, so she says, I'm here. And so he comes in. She's huddled in the corner. He grabs her by her hair and drags her around the corner and to the hallway. Now, one thing we need to tell people is Tracy had just had breast cancer surgery a month prior. So we were dealing with the whole breast cancer scenario. So we're reeling from that. And they grab her. And I said, leave her alone. She's just had breast cancer surgery. And he took one step and hit me as hard as I've ever been hit in the top of my head with that pistol.
So what's going through, I mean, because like I said, we can only imagine you've been through this. What goes through your mind as a protector? Because I'm thinking a husband, a father, a stepfather, I'm thinking that that's the mode you're in is how do I protect my family? Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the problem is with that is, number one, once you see this vision, and this is something you may see in a video game or on a Rambo movie, right, that these guys come in. And this was, they were very detailed. And I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? What can I do? Well, my senses were so twisted after this flash, right? He says, if you move, I'll kill you. So my head is just gushing with blood. He throws a pillow over the top of my head and sticks the gun right at the back of my head. And again, he's asking me, where's the meth? I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm screaming back at him. And this is decibel level 8, right? These guys are just, they're terrorizing. And they came in. And so they had a directive. And they knew exactly what they were doing. And this was really, really planned out, these guys.
Right.
They weren't a bunch of guys looking around. Hey, where's the jewelry? I'm a tweaker. I'm going to sell your lawnmower. Right? They were there for a reason. And I think at that time, Dory realized I had nothing. So they piled my wife and the two boys together about 10 feet away in the hallway and were threatening them, counting down 10, 9, 8, tell us where the drugs and the money is. I will kill you. And so the one son had to watch the other son, the barrel of the gun on the back of his head. And at this point, I can't move. I can't see because I'm on my face, right? On my stomach.
Right.
And I'm only imagining what's happening to my wife that goes through a man's mind. I have no idea, but I can't move because if I move, they might take me out. So the compromise that I was dealing with, Dory, is, yeah, what can I do? Nothing. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what was so terrifying. So finally,
but you're hearing them count down from 10, thinking that they're so desperate that they are going to pull the trigger if they get down to 0.
Well, I actually didn't hear that. This was per my wife. And
oh, okay,
kids.
Okay.
Because we had the TV going and it got loud all of a sudden, and these guys were screaming, and so I didn't really hear this because I had a pillow over my head, and so I didn't really hear it. But this is just kind of a recounting of the actual incident from them. And so time had gone by. It seemed like forever, you know, you can imagine. And so finally we heard no commotion and I could kind of hear, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. And she said, stay where you are. And that's when all the things went through my mind. What are they doing to the children and my wife? Maybe they're there. Maybe they, I don't know.
How old are the boys? I know you said the boys are teenagers. How old are they?
Yeah. One's a teenager, one's 17 and one's 20.
Okay. Got it.
They both live at home.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah, so you know that's kind of the entire thing.
So what did they get? Did they? I mean, I assume they did steal stuff.
Yeah, what they ended up doing is they got some cash from the boys, but that wasn't the cash that they looked for that they were after. And so they took our cell phones, and they grabbed them obviously to get a head start that we didn't call the police. But they dumped them, and we found all of our phones, you know,
wow.
with the Apple iPhone Find My Phone app thing.
Right.
So we found one outside the house, and two of them were just down the street. One of them was shattered. I found mine, and it was fine. It was on. It was still pinging.
Any idea why they thought there was meth in your house?
Yeah, I think talking to the law enforcement, the detectives, these guys from King County, and these guys are awesome, by the way, working with. I just wanted to give them a shout out.
That nice,
been
yeah.
Great to work with, right? Good guys and gals. It's mistaken identity. It had to have been. And this is not a house. You know, praise God. And we've got, you know, flowers in the entryway. And it's upper middle class East Trenton neighborhood. There's no reason these guys should have been here. They're thinking that it was just a case of mistaken identity.
Is there any part of you, Steve, where at some point you have to go to the boys and say, is there something going on that we don't know about?
Yeah, that question has come up, and I'm going to squash that right away.
Yeah.
These boys, they don't go out. They don't really do much. They hang out. They're good, good kids. You know, they've got just a couple of friends, and they're not big party guys, nor are we, right? So there's no reason to believe As people listen to this, like, oh, well, someone's got to be doing something. No, it's not it at all.
Yeah, and I'm not thinking that that's it, but, you know, it's a question you got to ask. And, I mean, I'm thinking about it more as a dad than as a talk show host. I think I'd probably have to ask the kids, yeah.
Yeah. So that being said, that's kind of what law enforcement, you know, they got their hands full because this is a super hard case for them. But it's really, at this point, on the top of their radar to get this thing solved. And
you don't have security cameras at your house, I assume.
We do. Yeah,
oh, you do.
And all the neighbors do too.
So, do you have any images that are helpful for the police?
We've got a guy that's across the street. We live in a cul-de-sac, one block off of one of the main drags that kind of drops down on the backside of Renton down to Maple Valley Highway. So. One of the houses on the main drag was able to pick something up because they were very strategic on not being seen. We've got cameras within the cul-de-sac. We're on the corner as you enter. So we see a lot of entryway. We see driveway. We see the neighbors. We see the mailman drive by, you know, a
sure.
cat.
Yeah,
fire
yeah.
the camera up. These guys avoided every single camera in the cul-de-sac. They parked on the backside of where this main street is. And so, the police have a little bit to go on. I can't share what that is at this point, but there is some things that we were able to pick up, as minor as they were. But
okay.
at this point, and that's kind of why I'm here, Dory, is just to share the story. Because if this is truly mistaken identity, which we believe it is, where's this going to happen next?
Right.
You know, and my main message is that just get to know your neighbors. Talk to them, you know, talk, strengthen numbers, and let's get these guys caught, because we're not the only ones that are scared, right? We have to deal with this heavy lifting the rest of our lives, obviously, and deal with it. But the people that are shooken around us, they're wonderful people.
No, I get
they're
it.
Great neighbors, you know?
Well, we only have a few seconds here, Steve, but tell me about the emotion when the guys are gone and your wife and your boys and you are alive. And what's the immediate aftermath emotion?
Well, it's really kind of hard to put in words because we were just kind of, you know, huddling with each other, shaking. You know, I've got my face is covered with blood and my head is gushing. But it was just a few seconds, Dory, before all of the EMTs and the first responders actually showed up. So it's been kind of, it's at the time, it's really hard to describe. It was did this really just happen to us? I'm not going to wake up and say this is just a bad dream. And we all kind of said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's really kind of hard to put into words because this is something that nobody has or should go through.
What a terrifying story. Well, yeah. I'm really glad you're all safe. And is it time to get a gun?
You know, Tori, that's a topic for conversation on another day, but
okay. Certainly
a topic.
Okay, all right. I'll give you my advice when we talk about that next.
Let's do that.
Okay, all right. Steve, glad you all are safe. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thanks for having me, Tori.
Okay, Steve Guggenmose in Renton. And Steve said, if anybody has any idea that could help out King County Sheriffs on this, please pass it along because this is going to happen to somebody else. You can reach me on the Online Trading Academy text line. Share your thoughts on this at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. It is going to be a crazy next couple of years as we ramp up to the 2020 elections. I saw an interview this morning, and it's just absolutely cringe-inducing. John Hickenlooper is the former governor of Colorado, and he has announced that he's running for the Democratic nomination. Hickenlooper! So Hickenlooper, he's been a business owner, and so he went on MSNBC with Joe Scarborough this morning, and he just had one question for this former governor of Colorado.
And you certainly were a doer when it came to business. What you talked about sounds like the American dream as far as business goes. And an advertisement for American capitalism. Are you concerned about some factions of your party embracing socialism?
Okay, fair question. You've been a capitalist. Your party has clearly gone socialist.
Well, I think there's, you know, the Democratic Party is a big tent. And that's one of the things I've always loved about the Democratic Party is there are all kinds of ideas. You know, I look at my experiences and where I've tried to make a difference. And it really is getting people together, getting them to lay down their weapons, and then getting stuff done. And the labels, right. I think most
so
Democrats
just gets
don't
a
care
big,
as much
long,
about the labels.
Nonsense answer.
Well, would you call yourself a proud capitalist? Oh, I don't know. Again, the labels, I'm not sure any of them fit. But I do believe that, you know, that ability to look at...
Okay, what a load of garbage. So if you want to be a viable Democrat candidate, you cannot say, yeah, I'm a capitalist?
You know, climate change. And figure out how
so
are we really going
to... That's the same answer to that question. Are you a capitalist?
Together.
What we right. do starts methane, talking about climate change.
One- Right. Let me ask you just, I'll break it down even more. Do you consider yourself a capitalist? Well, again, the labels, you know, I'm a small business person. So that part of the system that you would call capitalist, I get it. I understand it.
Can you believe this? He knows if he says, yeah, I'm a capitalist, he knows he cannot get the Democrat nomination in 2020. We are going to have a socialist versus Trump in 2020. This guy has been schooled by his advisors, by all the money that's backing Hickenlooper. And they've told him, you cannot say, yeah, I'm a capitalist. So Scarborough's asked him twice. Will he ask him a third time?
I worked very hard. You know, when you open your own business, you know, when we first signed the lease in lower downtown Denver.
So then he starts weaving another story.
We worked 70, 80, 90 hours a week to build the business. And we worked with the other business owners in lower downtown to help them build their business.
Let's hear if Scarborough asks him a third time.
12-year period.
Right.
Well, so do you consider yourself a capitalist, and does capitalism work? Well, I think I don't look at myself with a label. Okay.
We're going to have a socialist for Democrat nominee in 2020. They all know. And I know you got to run further left, further right in the primaries, the Democrats and the Republicans. But every Democrat knows that they cannot admit to being a capitalist. The system that has created more freedom, that has created more wealth, that has created the greatest country on earth. And the Democrats have abandoned it to the extent when asked three times, Hickenlooper could not, would not answer. Because capitalism is poison to Democrats running for president. It's crazy. And Elizabeth Warren this morning, did you hear her big plan? She's going to break up Amazon and the big tech companies, Microsoft. The government is going to come in and tell companies that have been fabulously successful, created a lot of jobs. They're not perfect, but they have been run expertly well. And Elizabeth Warren says, yeah, I'm going to break up all those companies. Why? It's anti-capitalist. Whew. I don't know. And I now know why the bookies, who tend to know what they're doing, why they've made Trump the strong favorite in 2020. Because he'll have fun running against a socialist Dem. Fast 15, coming up next.